Welcome to Hillside Baptist Church Podcast. We are a church that is committed to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is our privilege to open God's Word with you. It is our prayer that you receive the message from the man of God with an open heart. That through God's Word, you are encouraged and equipped to face life's challenges. But most importantly, it is our prayer that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't already. If you'd like to connect with us, you can do so at hillsidebc.com, find us on Facebook, or send us an email at info@hillsidebc.com. We hope that you benefit from today's message and that you would share it with a friend. But let's now open our hearts and God's Word.
Jesus Christ was willing to go for us, and really it's His sacrifice and why we do what we do today. And so we are humbled and grateful for God's goodness. I'm going to invite you to join with me with our last lesson on biblical stewardship. And we have seen three of the four lessons, and I'll just give you a quick recap. But tonight we're going to look at the spectacular rewards. And there is rewards in faithfulness to God, and it is one of the greatest rewards you'll ever see. And tonight, I just want you to kind of get a vision of what God has in store for you as you commit to just being faithful. And I love to be a part of Hillside Baptist Church because our church knows what it means to see God's faithfulness and see God. As a matter of fact, throughout the last few series, in the last few nights, people have come up to me after church and shared with me their own personal testimony of God's faithfulness, how God has worked and proven Himself faithful time and time again. And tonight is in the message, if you'd like to share a testimony, I'm going to give an opportunity for you to share a testimony. So maybe we have some young men be willing to go grab a couple of microphones and just be ready for that. Thank you, young men. And we'll get those ready to go. So just a real quick recap, we learned the very first week was the importance of being a steward of God. I'm not a steward of my own resources. There's a slide there. I'm not a steward of my own resources. Instead, what we realize, there's four principles. He is the owner. Amen? What does He own? Everything. He created all. He's the owner of all things. I am responsible then for God, to God. And there will be a day of accountability, but we're going to look a little bit more in depth tonight at the principle of reward and some of those rewards that are here now and some that are to come. The next week, and next slide there, is we're going to see that God calls us to be sensible in our money management. So we talked about agreeing on a value system in your family. The way you spend your money determines what you feel is important. And so there's a call then to conquer the budget. If we could just get Congress on board with that, we would be in great shape. Amen. But they just think they, never mind. All right. And the last week we looked at this importance of being steadfast in our giving. And so Christ's biblical example, that road to Calvary, that sacrifice, the cross calls us then to model that sacrifice. And He left us instructions regarding that. And tonight we look at the rewards that God has associated with our obedience in the Christian life. Now, I want to just, as we get started, I want to share a quick story that I had read this week about a Christian carpenter. And this is a time during the Great Depression, and he wanted to give everything he could to the Lord. And because he loved the Lord and his church loved the Lord, they wanted to do their part in just helping a missionary in China. And so the missionary had sent back a list of all the things they needed for the mission in China. And so this church had gathered things together, and then the carpenter built wooden crates, and they filled those wooden crates with all the things that they needed in order to ship to China. And so he was donating his skill and using everything he could, and he was nailing the last bit of the crates together and got them off, and we sent them to the shipper, and he got home and sat down in his easy chair, was going to read his Bible, and got to looking for his glasses, and guess what was missing? His glasses. He had nailed them shut in one of those cartons that he had built, and he was so disappointed, and because glasses were super expensive, they were a special prescription, and he thought, well, Lord, you know, and I'll just raise up the I'll save the money, and once again, I'll go ahead and buy some new glasses. A few years later, that missionary was back home and reporting to the church, and he just gave a report of how grateful he was for this church and their contributions to the orphanage and the work there and all the educational supplies and the clothing. But he said this, and I especially want to thank you for the glasses in the top of the last crate. And the church members looked at each other like, what in the world is this guy talking about? Well, the old man in the back row, that carpenter, he knew what he was talking about. But the missionary testified, he said, just before your shipment arrived, my glasses were destroyed. And even if I had the money to replace them, he said it would have been impossible in the city where I serve to find someone who could reproduce them. And so besides the difficulty of seeing without glasses, and we can testify to that, he said, I was experiencing severe headaches. So I was just praying, Lord, would you just provide some glasses for me, miraculously provide for me. And it was as if, he said, and I opened that last crate and I took those glasses and I put them on and I looked at them and I said, it was as if they'd been made specifically for me. He says, I just want to say thank you so much for being so gracious. Every church member in the congregation that evening assumed the missionary just talking about someone else. But on the back row, there was a hardworking carpenter with tears running down his eyes as he remembered the sacrifices that God let him be a part of. You see, we never know what little bit that we get to contribute, how that makes an impact on the mission field. I think we've got multiple missionaries in this congregation, and they can testify how that God supplied at the right time, at the right moment, because they had a need. But you know, the great focus here is that carpenter. That carpenter was willing to be used of the Lord. He was willing to just give whatever he had, and the result was joy. Those tears that he had on that last row there, they weren't tears of sorrow, but they were tears of joy. And that's one of the number one things I want you to see is as we give, God gives joy. Look in your Bible, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35. I want you to turn open there, and I want you to just look at the scriptures with me together tonight. You know, I think a lot of Americans are searching today for joy. They're looking for happiness. But the Bible teaches us that joy is the byproduct of giving. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35. He says, I've showed you all things. How that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, read with me together aloud, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let's stop and pray. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder. Thank you for the reward of joy in our giving. Now help us to be joyful givers. Now we love you. Thank you for your many blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a couple of things we're going to share with you about this reward of joy. Now, where does it come from? Well, willing gifts, when we give willingly, it produces joy. The greatest rejoicing in giving comes when we give from a willing heart. And we see this pattern throughout Scripture. If, as a matter of fact, go with me now in 1 Chronicles chapter number 29 in your Bible. In 1 Chronicles 29, the people were preparing to build the temple. David had left instructions for Solomon. And he told him, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. He was saying, getting him ready for what was ahead. But in 1 Chronicles 29, in verse number 9, it says, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. As they came and they gave to the Lord, there was joy that bubbled up within them. It is when we give from this kind of heart that we most benefit from our gifts. I mentioned last week, there's two kinds of givers. Those that give like they're giving to the IRS. Amen? You remember that? And those that give like they're giving an engagement ring. And there's a huge difference between the two. And it's when we're giving with that same kind of joy as a young man does when he presents that ring to his bride-to-be, that we give to the Lord. Lord, I'm grateful for what you've done. Because cheerful giving is rewarding. Grudging giving is discouraging. You ever given something because you had to? Or you felt coerced into it? Well, listen, there's nothing worse than feeling like you have to do something. But when you get to do something, it changes everything. I love Sister Gaynell's attitude. Where are you? She says, I get to serve in junior church today. I love that attitude. It's not I have to, but she changed that. And one word makes all the difference. And when we talk about tithes and offerings, sometimes we say, well, we're going to take the tithes and offerings, right? But really, it's praise the Lord, we get to give back to God tonight. We get to share the bounty that God has given us with Him. Once again, remember, He owns it all anyway, and so it gives us an opportunity to be cheerful in our gifts. Listen, God Himself loves our cheerful gifts. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7, we're very familiar with this passage. As he writes, every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what, church? A cheerful giver. There was a mother who wanted to teach her daughter about the joys of giving. As she was going into Sunday school, she gave her a quarter and she gave her a dollar. She says, now listen, little Susie, it's so important that you share with God everything that you've given. I want you to put one in the offering plate and keep one for yourself. And Susie said, okay, mommy. And she went in there. And after the service, the mother asked her daughter, she said, so tell me, little Susie, which one did you give, the dollar or the quarter? And she said, well, I just gave the quarter. And the girl explained. She said, listen, the pastor right before offering said, listen, God loves cheerful givers, and I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter and kept the dollar. Listen, sometimes we can be like that, right? We want to keep the bigger part. But God says, listen, cheer. The joy comes as we just say, God, whatever, it all belongs to you anyway. You know, one of the things I love about this church is your heart. When it comes to giving, we were just had the privilege of just sitting down and kind of go over some things with our treasuring team. And I said, you know, over the last year, we had seen over $1 million processed through Hillside Baptist Church. Amen. I was amazed. And, you know, and that's not because we're rich. That's because we have an awesome God. And you have just said, Lord, we just love to be a part of whatever you want. Lord, we want to be a part of just giving back. We want to be a part of cheerful giving. And we have seen this in missions. We have seen this in our tithes and offerings. And just over and abundant, I am just so grateful that God lets us be part of such a great work here at Hillside. Listen, did you know God designed us physiologically to be cheerful when we give? There was actually a study done by a man named Jordan Grangman. He had a brain scanning device, and he was able to put it on people, and they played a game. And in this computer game, they would both give and receive gifts. And the study found that there was a release of brain chemicals that triggered feelings of happiness and pleasure when they gave away money, but not when they received money. His conclusion was this. It definitely seems like you're going to get more pleasure, if these brain activations can be any guide, when you're giving than when you're simply receiving. Isn't that what Jesus said? 'Tis more blessed to give than to receive. So willing gifts produce joy. Giving produces the joy of participation. You know, I asked Brother David and Greg if we could sing Little As Much tonight, because it's a reminder that, you know, when I put my little part in and we all get to put our little part in, I'm part of God's bigger work. It's not just, you know, there's not a lot there, God, and so I'm just going to keep it for eggs in the morning. But, you know, what it is, God, I get to be a part of what you're doing. And now it's small. I remember oftentimes my children and I will go shopping together, and we'll go buy their mother a gift, Mother's Day, birthday, or something like that. And oftentimes my kids say, okay, Dad, I've got a dollar. And I'm like, okay, this is great. We're going to use the dollar, and I'll put with it a few more. Amen? Maybe 50 or something else. But listen, they get to be a part of that giving. And you see, their dollar, they look at that, and they may not feel like a lot, but what they're doing is they're participating together to give the gift. When we participate with God in His economy, when we're participating in His plan, what happens is we get to be a part of what God is doing. And God's work gives us tangible means of laboring together with God. And so God blesses. God blesses that heart, not only a cheerfulness that comes upon us, but the joy of knowing that we have had a part in seeing people saved in other parts of the world. Or when someone is saved here at Hillside or out when we're doing visitation, every giver is a part of those ministries and those works. You know, there's been times through the last few years as we've served and labored together that I've been out on visitation and God lets me lead someone to the Lord. And I always try to text the team and let our staff know, hey, I just want you to know, thank you for what you do so that I can be out here, because with our works together, we saw another one saved today. Listen, we all get to be a part of working and laboring together. Think about Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew 14, there was a little boy who had a little lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, I don't know about you, but I figured if Jesus could speak and the world's come into existence, he could probably make lunch without this little boy's offering. But this little boy got to be a part of what God was doing because he just made it available. And so Christ could have created food with his own spoken word, but instead he allowed this boy to be a part. Could you imagine years later, as his kids or his grandkids and their kids would tell this story? Yeah, Dad got to give his lunch and Jesus fed 5,000 men and women and children. Man, what an incredible gift that would have been. And when we get to heaven, here's the thing. God's going to say that we get to be a part in His work. And as a part of His work, we'll get to see in heaven what that has fully entailed. In 1 Chronicles, I want to just go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 one more time. And we're going to see here the response of the people. And there was a reward system that was applied here. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 13 says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. But who am I and what is this people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee." They said, listen, God, it all belongs to You, and we're grateful to be able to give it back. And so they had the joy of participation. And we see, thirdly, there is the joy of obedience. Man, isn't it sweet whenever you see your children obey the Lord, or you see your children obey, and there is a joy that's produced there in the obedience. There's a sweetness in that relationship, in the father and child relationship or mother and child relationship, and there is a joy that comes by watching your children honor the Lord in their obedience. Listen, God has the same joy every time we respond by faith and say, God, I want to just thank You for Your faithfulness. And so giving produces the joy of obedience. Aside from any other benefit of giving, this reward is a reward in itself. And every time we respond to the Spirit's promptings to give by faith, we grow in our relationship to the Lord. And so there's no amount of material wealth that could ever substitute for a priceless treasure of just simply being, Lord, here am I. I want to be obedient. May God give us that heart of obedience. You see, when we refuse to give because we don't feel like we have the resources, we forfeit even opportunities to see God's supernatural provision. And so when we give and we see God's provision, our faith is strengthened and we rejoice in God's blessings. And this is one opportunity I want to open the floor for you to be able to just share a testimony. If you've got a testimony of how God has provided and you've seen God be faithful over the years, maybe He took a little bit and made it much, or maybe God just provided supernaturally. We'd love to just hear that testimony of faith at this moment. So just raise a hand. Brother Steve Weigel right down here. Brother Terry Alcorn, 2 young men, if I could have y'all come find these two. Brother Dennis Ebert as well, and Brother Gary Pash, Sister Linda Snow. We could go on and on. We're just going to take a few here tonight. Brother Steve?
Dr. Jack Baskin came in 1974 to Lonnie Keeler Baptist Church when Karen and I were I was just a young soldier in the Army. He's the first person I ever heard get up in the pulpit and say, I dare you
Amen.
To try to outgive God. The Bible says God will be a debtor to no man.
That's right.
And Dr. Jack said, I dare you. He wasn't even Dr. Jack then. He was a missionary to Korea. And Reverend Jack said, I dare you to try to outgive. So Karen and I said, let's try it out.
Amen.
So we were very glad. We gave about 25% of our income to to the Lord 1 year. And then we were, you know, patting ourselves on the back. Thank you, Lord. We're such good people. We gave so much. And then the Lord made us add up everything that had been given to us, and it was four times as much as we gave Him.
Amen.
And we just, our jaws just dropped open when we saw that. So I promise you, God will be a debtor, no man.
Amen.
And since Dr. Jack's in the hospital, I'll say it for him. I dare you to and outgive God.
Amen. Good. Thank you. Brother Terry?
Well, God has blessed me through giving and been doing Faith Promise since I was a junior in high school. And gave tithes before that, you know, if I earned some money. But tithe is something that is determined by the amount of tithe I give is determined by my employer.
Yes, right.
And God has given me good employers, and Ron has been really blessed. And so our tithe has grown through the years because God's laid upon our employers' hearts to be good to us. But Faith Promise, that's when God and I meet together.
Amen.
It's not a percentage that I give. It's an amount that God lays on my heart. And God has blessed us through Faith Promise. Faith Promise is the single biggest blessing in my life.
Amen.
And I'm just thankful because it's one is obedience.
Right.
One is a special relationship with God speaking to my heart.
Amen.
And then doing what God says and seeing that God's faithful to me.
That's right.
So
good.
I love tithing, but boy, Faith Promise beats it all to pieces.
Amen. Good, good. I think Brother Ebert right over here, if you want to grab him, and Sister Linda, we'll take these last two here tonight.
Back in our ministry back 30 years ago, somehow we got involved about 1990 about building a camp. And I had no money. I had no way to do it. But one of our pastors said, "Sir, do we really want to buy a camp? There's 3 hectares, which would be about 7 acres, available." And I said, "How much?" He told me the price, and I thought, well, I think I could raise that. So we went to buy it, ultimately bought it. And one day I was driving back to Manila from the campsite, and I'm thinking, what kind of a dummy am I? I have no money. I have no way to build this camp. So I thought, well, okay, we'll just put cement slabs. We'll use bamboo for the walls, and I'm thinking, like, you know, human way. Finally, I said, "God, there's no way. I don't have any big churches. I don't have anybody that has money. I have nothing. It's up to you."
Amen. That's enough.
And I'm telling you, about 10 days later, I got an email by mistake from a fellow in the U.S. that was meant for another missionary. His name was Delbert Hoagie. His email address was same email I had, server. But the only difference, mine was Debert. His was Delbert. And they left out the L. And I called him and I said, "Hey, I got this email. Do you want it?" He said, "No, I know about that. Never mind." I contacted the person. I said, "This is the project you want to be involved in. This is what God laid on my heart. What do you say?" He said, "That's exactly what I want to do."
Amen.
About $2 million later, we had this amazing 55 hectares.
Amen.
Which is somewhere around 100 acres with a campsite, full facilities, 5 basketball courts, my own house to live in. We were there 13 years operating that camp along with other parts of the ministry. We could sleep overnight 1,200 people.
Wow. Amen.
Later on, God moved us out, but the last one we had 1,200 campers.
Amen.
For our youth camp, for our fellowship family camp.
Praise the Lord.
It just beyond my comprehension how God does.
Amen. Thanks, Brother Dennis. And then Sister Linda.
In 1970, we started going to this new church, and the pastor was preaching on tithing, and We told him we couldn't tithe because we just couldn't afford it. We'd done it on pencil and paper, and there was no way that we can tithe. And he said, Hebrews 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he said, you have to step out on faith.
That's right.
So we thought, well, we'll try it for 1 month, but I don't think we can make it. That very next month, we got an insurance check that we didn't even know we were going to get, and it was a refund, and it was more than the tithe that we gave.
Amen.
The very next month, we got a refund for something. I don't remember what it was from. So we just started tithing, and we've been tithing ever since. Then the pastor started talking about missions, and I thought, man, it's never enough for him. So anyway, we started having missionaries coming, and the Lord laid on our heart. We had a big burden for missions, and we've been given to missions ever since, and we love it, and God has blessed us and blessed us.
Amen. I tell you, I love that you can't outgive God. And I love that challenge Brother Weigel just started that little testimony time with. I dare you. Man, there is so much joy in giving and then watching God. We'll also tell you there are seasons of fear. Amen. God, are you going to do this? Are you going to take care of our needs? But in the midst of it, as we walk by faith and not by sight, God does something amazing. And I want to encourage you to see that God brings a joy in your life. There's also eternal dividends that we see, because this joy of making eternal investments brings eternal dividends. And Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20 says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Listen, there's nothing like those brand new cars rolling off of the assembly line. Aren't they beautiful? But the problem is, in about 10 years, the rust starts right bubbling underneath the paint. Then you got to send them to the shop, and then thousands of dollars later, you can finally get them running decent again. You buy a house and termites eat it up. You have companies, and you think, I'm going to invest in this company, and it goes bankrupt. Banks fail. Listen, all these things, the worldly investments are only temporary. But Matthew 6:20 says, when we invest in eternal things, it lasts for eternity. Proverbs 23:5 says, "With thou set thine eyes upon that which is not, for riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven." Amen? Well, that is very true. Jim Elliot, missionary, I'm just to Ecuador, I'll quote him again. He said, again, he is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And listen, that is such a great perspective as we consider this faithfulness. 1 Peter 1:4, remember what Christ has offered to every Christian. We have in heaven an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. And so, listen, we can't buy our way to heaven. Jesus already paid the price. Neither can we take anything with us. There's no U-Haul behind a hearse. No wealth we can amass on this earth can follow us into eternity, but we can choose to send riches ahead of us into eternal investments. There was a funny story I read about a man who went to heaven. Of course, just so you know, it's a joke, okay? He went on to heaven, and his first sight, and he got to heaven, and he said, man, this place is amazing. It was amazed. He walked up to this first house, and it was just a mansion, just big, big mansion. And the angel that was with him, showing him things around, and said, whose home is this? He said, oh, Mr. Smith, that's Mr. Smith's home. He was your gardener on earth. And he said, wow. He said, this is amazing. Look at this place. And they go walking around again, and he sees another home, even more spectacular. And he said, well, whose home is this? And as he paused in front of him, he said, well, this one belongs to a missionary. She served the Lord for many years. Your church supported her work. And he kind of blushed a little bit, and he thought, well, I didn't actually give to missions, but that's great. That's a beautiful home. They went on a little further, and after a while, they turned a corner, went down this dark alley, and finally came up in front of this little-bitty, rinky-dink little shack. And the guy looked at him and looked at the angel, and he said, well, whose joint is this? And the angel said, well, that's yours. I was like, what? He said, I was rich on it. I had more on earth than I do in heaven. He says, well, I'm sorry, that's all we had to be able to work with that you sent ahead for you. You know, there's not going to be shacks in heaven, but there is a principle there that God says that we lay up treasures in heaven. And there is the principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that God calls us about to build upon the foundation with material that will last and not be burned up and wasted. Those who invest solely in this life lose on two accounts. They lose the joy of giving here, and they lose the joy of reaping eternally. Lee Iacocca, who was a legendary car maker. He had everything. He wrote in his book, he said, "Here I am in the twilight years of my life, still wondering what it's all about. I can tell you this, fame and fortune is for the birds." He had everything this world could have ever provided. And he, like Solomon, at the end of his life said, it was all vanity. Listen, God's calling us to give, not because He needs it, but because He needs our heart. And we need a heart for Him. And as we give, we can hear testimony. We could keep going on testimonies tonight of Christians who'd be able to testify. God has been faithful time and time and time again. And we could be able to testify what we have seen on this earth. But when we get to heaven, there's going to be things that we couldn't imagine in heaven for those who are willing to invest here on earth. Remember, eternal investments only produce joy if we maintain an eternal perspective. If we're grudging or we're just doing it for gain, we miss the joy of giving altogether. We must heed the admonition in Colossians 3, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You see, this world will tell you that gaining material wealth and possessions is really what will help you be satisfied, but you never feel like it's enough. And people like Lee Iacocca or others would be able to tell you, listen, I gained and I gained and I gained. Bill Gates, if he would be honest with himself, would be able to testify, it doesn't matter how much you have, it's never enough because it's like a vacuum and it just demands more. But when we give to God, there was a joy, there's a satisfaction, there's a contentment because it's not just here, we're investing there.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It is such a privilege to share God's Word with you. If God has spoken to your heart because of the message, stop right now and respond to whatever it is God is asking of you. Don't wait another minute. You can pray right where you're at and ask God for His help. If this message has helped you in any way, we would love to hear from you. Let us know if you have any questions or we can help you with your decision. Jesus asked His disciples, "Who do ye say that I am?" And He offers the same question to you today. What would your answer be?